Morning. Well, I'm full of humor this morning, so I'm just sorry. Some things just come a little sideways here. So we made an announcement this morning, and I got it all wrong. Well, not all wrong, but some of it was wrong. Anyway, Kevin is not engaged to Lorene. Let me get that straight, okay? And Lily is not expecting a son. So I just got it all mixed up. But at any rate, Frank and Lorene, I'll get you to stand up because not everybody knows who you are. Where are you? There you are. They are engaged. Let's give them a hand. Actually, I was having a little bit of fun, but there was an actual honest mistake in what I had said this morning. So... Just with regards to announcements, Thursday night's Bible class, Book 5, is canceled for this week. And then I'll make another announcement a little bit later. Anyway, it's good to be with you. Thank you, worship team, for ministry and song. You know, you just need to take a moment and look at your neighbor. Happens to be your husband or your wife, you probably already said it. My, you look different today. You might say, what do you mean by that? No, that's not what I was meaning. But as you look at your neighbor, realize that they love the Lord. And when we get together and we get to come and do what we're doing here this morning, singing praises, reading God's word. It's a freedom that we have that's not experienced all over the world. There are people in our world today who are suffering where they can't read, they can't pray, they can't openly discuss their faith. And so when the Lord Jesus asked the disciples to remember the Lord in his death and resurrection, God knew that what we experience in our world today, the opposition to the gospel, okay? Pure and simple, right? Pure and simple, there are people who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ. There are people who are determined to say, I don't ever want you to remember the Lord around his table. And so there are believers who have come out of these other, well, former beliefs. We all came out of a former belief. I hope you understand that. We all had to come to understand that Jesus is the Christ. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm using a different translation, a different Bible, and you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a specific verse on the page of my Bible, and I can't find it because this is not the Bible that I've been using since 1986. It's a different one. So just give me a second. I'm just a little more disturbed than normal. Oh, yeah, here we are. Verse 17. Verse 17. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each man's work, you recognize that that's what Peter was thinking about when he read Psalm 62 in the last verse of Psalm 62, verse 12. Oh, yeah. Conduct yourselves through the time of your stay here in fear, Fear here is not about being fearful of the boogeyman or anything, okay? No, fear here is live in this sense here that one day you and I, even as we remember the Lord, are going to stand before the Lord. We're going to have to give an account for the way that we live. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, you were bought, redeemed. That's imagery. Jesus didn't pay a price as such, didn't have an exchange of finances. He willingly gave his life. But using that imagery, he says, but you were bought with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus made his appearance on this earth for you and for me, preserved it in his word so that although it happened 2,000 years ago, we can read it like it happened today. Verse 21, who through him you believe. I believe. I believe in a place called Mount Calvary. I believe in the old rugged cross. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the ascension. I believe in the glorification of the church of Jesus Christ. And so through Jesus, you and I believe in God the Father, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. And since you have purified your lives in obeying the truth through the Spirit, how is that? You look over at your neighbor again, and now I'm going to say it. Why not say, I love you in the Lord? I love you in the Lord. I'm so glad you're here. Because people in other countries who cannot worship as freely as you and I do, when they have not seen each other for so long, they embrace each other and they express their love for one another. And that was the whole purpose of the love feast, as we break bread, is to be reminded how deeply loved we are by God, and that because of his love for us, we can now deeply love one another. And so through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently, deeply, with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, imperishable, immortal. All of that's going to be fully realized at the resurrection. But it comes through the Word of God, the person of the Word, and the message through the written Word, which lives and abides forever. Why should we believe that? Why should we understand that? Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of Yahweh endures forever. By his powerful word, he created. By his powerful word, he preserves. And by his powerful word, he He hears every prayer and every praise. And that's what we've been able to do here this morning. May the Lord be glorified. Father, I thank you for each one here this morning. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that we can celebrate with Frank and Lorene and their parents. We rejoice. I thank you, Lord, that we can worship you so freely in song, and we can read your word and meditate upon it. May we not take it for granted. We remember today, Lord, our brothers and sisters who are living in suffering around the world, who don't have the freedom that we do. May we not spurn it. May we not take it for granted, but may we embrace the time, the moment that we have right now. May we worship you as we break bread together. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite the men to come up and share where you're reading and what you're learning, and pray together and worship God together.
Good morning. Well, I'm reading in Romans and learning about just how Jesus has fulfilled the law, how God has displayed his righteousness through the faithfulness of Jesus. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Start at verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus, or could read through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Let's also turn to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Let's also turn to Isaiah 51. Verse 6. "Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail." So I guess there's a few different ways to look at his righteousness and also encouraging us to live right or righteously. And so I'd like to encourage you with that. Let's draw near to the Lord, and he'll draw near to us and live righteously so that his righteousness can be displayed through our life as well. He's faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you didn't leave us. You came to redeem us, because we out of ourselves couldn't do that. Thank you that you are righteous, that you are holy, and that you are loving. Thank you, Lord, that you came to fulfill the law. Thank you that you were obedient to death. You gave your life so that we could have life. Lord, I just want to praise you for that as we remember today what you have done. Not just today, help us to remember it throughout the week. Thank you for your great love and your grace and your mercy for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I'll ask you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I'd like to read a few verses here, starting at verse 40. And it's about the early church. Verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. O Lord, your word stands forever and is true. When we read these words in the book of Acts, it's so many years ago that the early church, they were doing the very same thing that we are doing today. We want to praise you, Lord. I pray that our hearts will be sincere with simplicity, just trusting you, worshiping you, finding our strength in you, not letting the noise beside us distract us from you, from the truth. Help us to continue to do what we read the early church did. Be a light, be sincere, love people the way you love them, so that people will be attracted to you. Thank you for your great love, and thank you for this wonderful privilege this morning in breaking bread together. In Jesus' name, amen.
I won't steal Mike's thunder with Psalm 62. It's just one verse there I just wanted to read there. In verse 9, he says, "Surely the lowborn are but a breath, and the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on the balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath." And I was just taken back by it. And one thing that we think about is we think about the rich and the famous, or Prince Harry or Prince Charles and all these people that are highborn. Whether you're highborn or lowborn, they are but a breath. It says that that highborn is just a lie. Those that are on the highest echelons of society, their pomp and their circumstances, but a lie. God, we're the same. God looks at us the same. And I was just thinking about, God looks at us the same, but also that God loves us the same. And Romans 8 easily shares that in, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And I was just thinking about the love of God for all men of all times. And we think of Ephesians chapter 2, a very well-known verse. In verse 8, it says, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So it's nothing that I have done for salvation. It's all of God. But because of God's great love for us, he's given us something more than just salvation. In verse 10, he says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So God created us for a purpose. It doesn't matter whether we're highborn or lowborn, rich or famous or poor. God has a work for us to do where we are in our lives. It's a matter of finding opportunities to serve and sharing our life in the life of in the love of God with others. And it says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God knows where we're at in life. God gives us all different opportunities. It's whether or not we do them or not that makes a difference in those lives around us, in the lives of others. I think of elsewhere in the scripture where God says that he predestined us to conform to the image of his son. It's part of that growing maturity process. As we love God, we can serve and serve others. Find the opportunities in life where God can do great things. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you love us regardless of where we are in life. Thank you, Lord, that you prepared a good work for us right where we are. I pray, Lord, that we would use the days that you've given to us to find opportunities to serve and to love and to speak into others' lives. I pray, Lord, that we would do it wholeheartedly, knowing that we have purpose, and that no matter whether we're rich or poor, young or old, whether we've known you for one day or 50 years, that you have a plan for us and you have a purpose for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
When Frank came up here and mentioned he was going to read from Romans, I was really hoping he wouldn't say Romans 5. So it's interesting. The Bible's so big, but we somehow managed to almost get the same verses. So Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray. God, I do want to thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship you together, to praise you, to honor you. Lord, you know us completely, and you've given us the opportunity to know you and to worship you. Thank you for the life that you give us. Thank you for watching over us and for guiding us in our lives. Pray, Lord, that we would be just honoring you here today. Amen.
You can turn to Psalm chapter 96. It's reading in my devotional book that I read alongside my Bible reading, and came across this one day, this last week, where I had some of these verses in there, and it kind of definitely made me think a little bit about how I give God glory in my life. So it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. And in the devotional, it kind of said, like, you know, when you pray and God answers you, whether you're, you know, not feeling well and you pray for healing, do you say, oh yeah, this medication or this therapy or whatever made me well? No, it's the Lord that made me well. Do you ascribe glory to his name? You know, when you're traveling and you make it safely somewhere, do you say, you know, the Lord granted us safety on our travels? It kind of made me think a little bit about how do I approach life and how do I give glory to God? You know, I'm praying for these things, but do I really give him glory when he answers those prayers? Just kind of made me think a little bit and just wanted to encourage you with that as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for just who you are, for your amazing love for us and the sending of your Son, that you desire to have an intimate relationship with each one of us. Father, just pray that we would seek to glorify your name, that we would not get embarrassed or ashamed at the proclamation of your name, but that we would speak it boldly. Just thank you for the fellowship that we can have. Amen.
I invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Thinking about salvation, and one of the benefits we get out of it is freedom. And starting in verse 13, You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one law. Love your neighbors as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out that you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to take our punishment, Lord, and the freedom that we get out of it. Just pray that we would use our freedom in the way that you had designed it to be. Help us to love one another, to be patient with one another, and Lord, that we would do your will. Just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Psalm 62. Thank you, men, for sharing in the word. Very encouraging and just helps us to realize that the body of Christ is filled with believers who love the Lord and meditating upon his word, and that's what we need when we come together, is to be reminded of that. I'm reading from the New King James Version, so the reading's slightly different than the NIV. Translations are what they are, and I just want you to maybe just take a breath and not get hung up on a translation. Translators who translated the various ones that we have did so with a desire to honor God. So although you and I may be tempted to say something like, this is a better translation, or that's a better translation, those are pretty strong statements. Why don't we just see if we can't learn all that we can from, if I could put it, all the translations that we might be exposed to. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. Truly. Truly, my life depends upon waiting quietly. It's not easy to do when everything in your body and your mind says that I want to react. From him comes my salvation. Not from my preconceived ideas of what it means to be delivered. You know, when your car is broken, say, save me. when you have an unexpected bill, save me. Not quite like that. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. We don't know exactly, although the psalm is credited to David, we don't necessarily know why he was feeling the way he does, but there is a little bit, if it was David, or whoever it was. Verse 3, how long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you. like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. How long will you attack a man? The only consult to cast him down from his high position, possibly as the king. But did you know that you and I are envious of people? Huh. I'm coming to break bread. Did you have to remind me that I suffer with envy? We all do. You might want to depose certain people, kings and prime ministers and so on, but maybe God has them there for a purpose. I wonder. I think I'm going to seek to wait silently on God. I think I'm going to pray for those in authority over me. But likely the psalmist, the believer, was feeling threatened by others, and chances are you do, even though you know that at times you struggle and you envy, but yet you also feel threatened. Yeah, they delight in lies, verse 4, and they bless with their mouth and they curse inwardly. Boy, isn't that you and me? But here we are. I shouldn't say that about you, but I'll just say that about me. Can I confess? Can I confess how rattled I am at times? How on the one hand I want to bless the Lord, on the other hand I want to curse? It troubles me that I could have such a wide range of expression. And yet I can identify with the psalmist. Lord, if there are people who are seeking to hurt me, depose me, and Lord, would you save me? My soul waits silently for God alone. Is that where you are? I'd have to say that that's not often where I am, but it's where I want to be. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. O you, His people, trust in Him at all times. Verse 8. Pour out your heart before Him. Before Him. Forgive me for having done that before you. I find that challenging. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vapor, men of high degree alive. This is called a merism. It means all of humanity is but a breath, and much of humanity is simply a lie, purported to be in good and self-grandiose ideas. That's true of humanity without God, and at times I live my life without God, and so hence, yes, my life is a vapor, and at times I live a lie. It's not where I want to be. What if your life were weighed on the scales? What if my life was weighed on the scales? But a vapor. May my life not be a lie. Do not trust in oppression. Don't think that somehow you and I can overthrow those things that God has put in place. Oh. Wonder how we're going to live. Teach us to number our days aright. Nor vainly hope in robbery. Riches increase. Oh, that's where I can find my hope. In possessions, in riches, in position, in power, in influence. Surely I'm a great person. Obviously, Romans 12:3 should come to play in a believer's life that we ought to think soberly, not more highly than we ought. Verse 11. The phrase God has spoken once or twice, this is a pattern. It's just a way in which things were expressed. It isn't limited to once or twice. Clearly, God has spoken many times, but what is true about what God has spoken is that power belongs to God. We may have been entrusted with His word, but the power is God's power, not mine, not yours. Also to you, O Lord, belongs Hesed, love, mercy, loving kindness. Oh, that's a beautiful thought, isn't it? In fact, that's what draws me to this table. For God so loved. God is love. I am not always loving. And in my essence and in my being, I am not love. But as I come before the table and I hear my brethren share from the word and I hear you singing, I'm reminded that as I look to you, I see that you are being transformed. I'm being transformed. Can you see it in your neighbor? Well, if you don't see it in your neighbor, chances are you can't see it in yourself. Or possibly you believe you have arrived and hence you're the measure. Yes, O Lord, to you belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his works. You want to be great in God's kingdom. You and I will need to learn to come to the table. And although we take solace in a moment and say that I silently wait on God, I'd have to confess that I probably don't do that as often as I should. I've been meditating on Psalm 62 this week. Yeah. Did you know that the Word of God is a sword that pierces and does surgery? I want to be like my Savior. And as I come to the table and I see how deeply loved I am in spite of my failure, grateful that he still invites me here. He knows only too well how imperfect I am, how blind I am to my weaknesses. But like the psalmist, I too feel sometimes threatened by the world in which I live in. And so I appeal to God today in a fresh way because of his word having been preserved. He only is my rock. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for an opportunity to be in your word, to meditate upon it. Thank you for each family here. Thank you for each dad who takes the time to pray with his family, to nurture them, to read to their children, to explain the deep truths of Scripture. Lord, thank you for the men and the women who pray together as husbands and wives, who seek to love you and to honor you, and yet recognizing that much of the time when we come before you, we come out of a deep need, because we recognize only too well that we need ongoing transformation, and it's only by your power and your loving kindness. May we break bread together in a fresh way. May we praise you and give you the glory. May we thank you. And may we remember that the person next to us, created in your image, is being transformed. May we give you the glory, the credit for all of that, and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who are coming to serve, would you please come forward? While they're coming up, just want to mention that our annual meeting is in a couple weeks, February 9th on a Wednesday night. All of you are invited. It's a night where we basically hear what God has been doing, as it were, in our church. That night also we will be recognizing a couple of elders. We are nominating John and Elma Cron at the Emmaus Church, and we're nominating Frank and Irina Clausen here at Faith EBC. And so that night we want the congregation to stand with us as elders to recognize that they've been serving in that capacity. It just gets formally recognized. And so please join us as we endeavor to build up the body and worship the Lord together, serve God. One of you, brethren, want to give thanks for the loaf, please.
Thank you, Lord, for your body, which you laid on the cross for us. And I pray, Lord, that we would remember that and not take it for granted, but that we would love you the way we ought to, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord, we come to you again and just want to thank you for your blood that was shed on the cross. Lord, as we partake of the juice, we ask that you would just continue to bless our time together and thank you for your sacrifice so that we could have life. In Jesus' name, amen. While the cup was being passed around, I was thinking of the song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
Very interesting that the Apostle Paul would quote the very words that were expressed to the disciples, and that he appropriated them for us to remember, appropriated them so that we too would enter into that fellowship with the Lord. Pete Wall is back at home. I shared that in an email. He's continued to pray. There are others who are always in need of prayer. There's a prayer digest that you all receive. Let's remember one another in prayer. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for each one. Thank you for the opportunity to break bread together, to meditate upon your goodness, to be reminded of your grace extended to us. We need that, Lord, because we're sinful. We need your forgiveness because we sin. Thank you that you do that every day. May we be a blessing to others, certainly in our families. May we love one another deeply as we're reminded today. Thank you for the time. In Jesus' name, amen. See you at the door.